Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back to another Friday book discussion. Before we dig in, we have a few announcements. Our next Coffee and Books event will be on October 5th from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Enjoy an hour of book talk with authors Julie Lessman, Misty M. Beller, and Lynn Shannon. This is a free event, but you do need to register to save your spot. So head on over to literaryescape.com/events to register today. We look forward to seeing you on October 5th. Authors, we are offering two sessions this month on writing book proposals. Kylie Woodley and Terry Whalen will be joining us on September 14th and 19th. If you cannot make it to one session, then join us for the other or both, as these two experts share the how and why behind writing book proposals that catch the eye of an agent. Full details and registration can be found at literaryescape.com/events. These events are free for our Editing HCRW members and just $17 for anyone who would like to join. We hope to see you there. The Unwavering Faith crowdfunding campaign is off to a great start. I am thankful for each and every person who has purchased a book. We are just 40 books away from unlocking the first bonus item. Please consider sharing this campaign with others as we work toward the goal of publishing Unwavering Faith. A huge thank you to Linda Messer, Angie Williamson, and Kathy Stricker for purchasing limited edition copies of Unwavering Faith. That's it for announcements. Enjoy our book discussion of Grace Like Rain by Julie Lessman.
He's everybody's lovable rogue. She's nobody's fool who hopes to steer clear until a thunderstorm sinks them both into a sea of love. Blake the Rake McClare has a notorious reputation as a womanizer, which is why soft-spoken Patience Body carefully avoids the lovable rogue attorney at the law firm in which they both work, until a rare thunderstorm brings them together in a love soaked with the grace of God and sparked with a little lightning of its own.
I like that she came back and gave Blake a story of his own. It's a novella. It's only ebook. It's free in Kindle Unlimited if you have a subscription there, or it's 99 cents, I think, for the novella. But it's only in ebook format. Yeah. It's not an audiobook or paperback.
Yeah.
Which I kind of stinks because I like having my paperback.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But anyways, all right. So what are your thoughts on Blake and Patience's relationship? Patience has been in and out. She's, bless her little heart, she's always, every time someone storms into the lawyer's office, she's the one that's like, please, sir, that don't go back there.
Yeah. And then she's running, like, apologizing. I tried to stop her.
So we've seen her throughout the series, but now she's getting front and center stage with Blake. Which Logan said he really loved Patience because she was able to not fall for Blake's charms in the office. So what'd you think about how their relationship kind of bloomed?
I liked it. I loved it. Because she's kind of klutzy and nervous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dumping coffee all the time.
Oh, my.
On him, on the floor. She's very jumpy.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like thunderstorms or anything like that. But I thought it was really sweet that he changed and went to work early. So they could have, like, their coffee time.
Yeah. And their Bible discussion. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Did they play chess too?
Yes. I believe they did.
Yes.
Because her grandpa, who is a retired judge, I believe he's a retired judge. She lives with her grandpa because Her grandmother had passed away, and I don't remember, was it her mom passed away or her mom left? Like, she was...
I think her mom passed away, and her dad was somebody like Blake and Logan.
Yeah, just a rogue. That's right. Mm-hmm. That had just left her and her mom. That's right.
Yeah.
But he's a well-known judge, her grandpa is.
Yes.
And he plays chess with her. You're right. Yes, so that's why they play. Mm-hmm. And he puts, like, boundaries because he knows Blake's reputation. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nope, you want to spend time with my granddaughter? You're going to have to do it in my house, in my presence, period.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
He liked Blake as a lawyer, but not as anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's Blake's fault for, that's what he's known.
Yeah.
Known for. I mean, he does. He falls head over heels in love with her fast. And he changes his ways fast.
Yes.
And then he's like, why have I been doing this?
Wasting my life.
Yeah.
And he knew, like, the first time he asked her to come to dinner, he was, I want you to meet my mom. Because you'll make her really happy that I've changed.
Yeah. And wasn't it nice? Because in this story, basically everyone's married or gets married. The two sisters get married, I think, during his story. Yeah. But like Logan and Kate are married. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to see the families like together.
Yeah.
Happy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved that part of it.
Yep.
And then she works or volunteers at the deaf, dumb and blind school. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that experience? Because Blake goes to see her there.
Yeah. I thought it was really neat that she volunteered. It was really neat. And that little boy.
Oh, did you just want to like bring him home?
Yes. So cute.
He was like dressed in his little suit with little coattails.
Yeah.
And like chubby little thing. And he had big glasses on, but he was blind.
Yeah.
And he ran into Blake.
Yeah.
And Blake helped him up and he goes, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't see you standing there. You know, I mean, just the way she had him talk. Yeah. But he had like something, a delivery.
Yeah.
He was real proper like, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Because he was like, Miss Peabody, I have a delivery for you.
Yes.
You know, hands are the, you know, and he's just this
like what a little butler would be, like a butler. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And then Blake gets under the piano with him to feel the music.
Yeah.
And stuff. And with the other kids that are deaf. And then he was like, I really want to do stuff for these kids. Like, I've taken advantage of the fact that I can see and hear.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought I just love that. When I was in college, you're going to laugh at me.
Oh, am I?
I accidentally signed up for a sign language class.
I remember that.
You know how they put like little codes, course numbers in front? Well, I thought I had chose the one I needed for my degree, which was actually like a speech pathologist class. I'm not a speech pathologist, but you had, as a teacher, you have to take couple speech classes.
Yeah.
Which I found those really interesting and almost became a speech pathologist because of that professor, but I didn't go down that road. So somehow I got messed up and I end up in a sign language class. I didn't realize it, you know?
Yes.
You walk into class the first day and you're like, oh, crud, this isn't the right course. I looked at my, you know, this is back when you printed your schedules you know, I pulled it out and I was like, is this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yep, that's the course. You're in the right class. I'm like, yeah, crap. I signed up for a class. And in college, you pay for every course, right?
Yeah.
It's too late to switch courses, you know, all this stuff, whatever. And I thought, oh, all right, I'll give sign language a try. I loved it. I loved it. The professor, he was wonderful. Great guy. And then I had this guy in my class.
Did
I ever tell you about this guy? Oh my word. The professor always paired me with him, always paired me with this guy.
Yeah.
He could never get his signs right. And he would sign things. And the professor was like, excuse me, you know, like one time he was trying to say good morning to the professor when he came in the classroom. But the way he did it, he went like this.
Oh, yeah.
And the professor was like, excuse me. And he goes, I said good morning. He goes, no. Or he would try to tell me like, oh no, this is the sign for this. I don't even remember the signs anymore, which is terrible.
I remember you telling me I never trusted him because he just made up his own signs.
So we would be, I'd be like, oh, I can't quit. Because you would have to have conversations. And again, professor always paired me with this guy. He was a really nice guy, yeah. Like a hoot. But at the same time, I'm like, man, you don't know any of your signs. So I'm like teaching him, no, remember, it's this way. Oh, remember, it's this way. So I remember we were practicing a conversation. And I was like, oh, shoot, I can't remember the sign for that. And he goes, oh, it was something about time or I don't know. He goes, oh, it's like this. And I said, I'm going to ask the professor. And lo and behold, he was right that time.
Oh, my gosh.
I can remember, that semester was done and I was eating lunch in one of the cafeterias and the professor walked by and he stopped. He goes, are you going to join me for the basically 102 course or whatever? And I said, oh, I really can't because now I've got to make up this course that I was supposed to be in and yeah. wasn't in, which I think he got a kick out of that. He goes, okay, well, I'd love to have you back in there. I think you'd really like it. I got a new, book and some curriculum for it. And I said, well, I'll see what I can do. Well, when you pay for college, it's hard to pay for extra courses, right?
Yeah.
It's just too expensive. So I never made it back to it. And I did run into that guy on campus.
Did he say good morning in sign language?
He would be like, hey, girl. I mean, he was a really nice guy, but I was like, don't try to sign with me because it's not going to work. Yeah. Oh, bless his heart. I don't know where he ended up. I mean, we weren't going for the same things. But part of me wants to go back and take sign language classes again.
Now, was his sign language, was he supposed to take that for his course? Do you know? Or was it an accidental sign up like you?
I think he was older. He was like probably in his 30s or 40s.
Oh.
And I think he was just taking some courses for fun. And I just happened to be in his class. I mean, I enjoyed getting to know him and everything, but it made class very interesting.
For sure. I would hate to be graded on a conversation you guys are having and be like, well, he'd probably fail it.
I know. Like, I don't know. Because you have to do like during, you would have to, he'd give you like a script and then you would have to sign back and forth. And that's when I was practicing one of those with him. And that's when I was like, oh, crud, I don't remember that sign. And I was like, I just don't trust you, man. I've been like helping you through the whole course.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I read this, I was like, man, because there was a like the beginning of my teaching career, I thought maybe I should go back for that because I think I would like to teach at the deaf school. So there's a deaf school down. Well, there's several, but there's a large one down in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, yeah, we could live down there by grandma and grandpa and be great. And then I never did it. But now that I'm getting older, I think I should go back and do some sign language classes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can teach Derek. And then we can have these funny side conversations and nobody around us. No, that's me. We'll do it in front of you. So you'd be like, are you talking about me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. Anyways, so it brought up those classes.
Yeah.
To me. All right. Now, so Blake does all these things, his family loves her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thanks for,
Yeah.
Taking him from rogue to choir boy, basically.
Yeah. Yep. I remember. Yep.
And then he's on the verge of proposing and that guy comes storming in.
Oh, I remember.
What'd you think about that?
Shocked. Like, no, no, it was going so good. You knew something had to come up because it was going too good.
Yeah.
But not that. I didn't want it to be that.
I was absolutely heartbroken for her and him, really.
Yeah.
And then Logan was so impressed with him. Like, you are doing the right thing and you are far braver and selfless than what I was when I was in your shoes. Because we all know what Logan did.
Yeah.
And Logan feels a little responsible because he's been that role model until he let God get a hold of him. Yeah. He was that role model of like, yeah, you've got women hanging off your arm. Go for it, boy. Like, enjoy your time with them and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, that was how Logan was until he was like, no, it's not right.
Yeah.
But this was like, what? And then came the other twist.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much because it is a quick read, so you'll get there. But I don't think we could say much more than that, or we're going to give away the big plot twists. But I was shocked.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked.
Yes,
me too. And I'm not going to lie, the second book in my series, I stole a little bit from her out of that. I have my couple get split for something similar, but it's a lot worse and a lot longer.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably all I'm going to say about that one, too. But I was not expecting that to happen.
Me neither.
But it is a good lesson about our sins have consequences that eventually come back around. Even if it's not immediate, it will come back to you at some point. And sometimes most of the time, our sin causes others pain. The ones we love, pain. I mean, that like broke her for a little bit.
It did. It did.
So. All right. Now we have two nuggets of truth to talk about. We have the power of prayer, which we kind of hit on earlier in the series, but it's something she has throughout the series. So again, that shows up again with, because their morning time has prayer time too, right?
Yes, that's true.
And then God's grace. Because he comes in and like he really shook him up with the consequence, but then his grace comes in and fixes it. Any thoughts on those? Or do you just feel like those are running themes throughout the entire series?
Yeah, they're running through the whole series.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So how would you rate the following elements on grace like rain? Mystery? I would say espresso. I don't think there was much mystery. Do you?
No, I don't think so.
How about drama?
I'd say a mocha to latte.
Yeah, especially towards the end. Yeah. A lot of drama there. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. How about suspense?
I would say espresso.
Yeah, there's not really anything dangerous going on with it. How about romance?
Mocha?
I would say mocha. I mean, Blake the Rake, he knows how to lay it on, kind of like Jamie, real flirty.
Yeah.
You know? How about inspiration?
Mocha to latte.
Yeah.
Like all the others.
I would agree. Yeah. She's really good about weaving in God's truth in there and stuff. So. And then what's your overall lasso rating for Grace Like Rain?
3.
Yeah. I know it's short because it's a novella, but I agree.
It still kept me turning.
I mean, like, I read that probably like in a day. I don't even know if it took me a whole day because it's not very long. Let me see.
Here it says it's 99 pages.
Yeah, 99 pages. Yeah. Yeah. I was, that did not take a day to read, but So, and then that's it. That wraps up hers. Part of San Francisco series. And then next week we'll have an interview with Julie, which is always a blast because she is a hoot to talk to. And she's always got such great insights about her books because she pours so much of her own life into those books. I mean, you'll just have to go back and listen to some of our previous interviews with her, but they're good. Would you agree? She's a hoot to talk to. All right. Well, that concludes our series. And I'm so excited because Jessica joined us again for this entire series.
Yes, I did.
And we haven't had her for a while. It's just a sister book discussion this month, right?
Yes.
A whole month of just the two of us, which is great. Tiff wanted to be here, but for this series, she did read it.
Yes.
But her oldest is going off to college and she's wanting to spend a lot of time with her before she lets her go. I think mom and daughter are struggling with this.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next stage of life. And then Jamie's on vacation, I do believe. And mom. She's only been with us for one so far this year, but she could not make it today. Or actually any of the days. So
yes.
For this book. So, or this series.
Yes.
So anyways, that is a wrap on the Heart of San Francisco series. And we'll be back. The next book discussion, you'll be back, right?
Oh, yes. I'm already into the third book.
Yeah, that is going to jump into contemporary Christian suspense romance.
And they are good.
So stay tuned.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider giving us a like and 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform and on our YouTube and Rumble channel. Each rating and like helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.